and those oafish officers have been cleared. A day of shame for the police. We'll give you more details and take your views and verdicts. In other news, trading blows over those President Trump tariffs.
We're following some very big breaking news tonight. A three-judge panel in New York has effectively balked almost all of Trump's disastrous tariffs.
Back in the UK, you remember the Heathrow blackout back in March? Here's the boss, Thomas Voldeby.
Personally, I'm quite proud of what the entire ecosystem, and that's not just Heathrow, that's our airlines, our handlers. I'm proud of what the people did to get us out of the situation.
And now we learn that the hapless Heathrow blackout bungler knew nothing that was going on because his phone was on silent. Plus, water everywhere. Some reservoirs are on the way. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, a court in New York has moved to block Donald Trump's tariffs on imports from almost every country. The plan overturned decades of US trade policy when it was announced last month.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn and the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
But judges have now ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he imposed the taxes. The White House has appealed the decision, which says the administration has 10 days to halt the tariffs. Four people have died after thousands of people crowded into a food warehouse in Gaza. Two Palestinians reportedly died in a crush, and two others were killed by gunfire at the UN facility. It's not clear whether Israeli troops, private contractors, or others opened fire. The UK is to spend about £1 billion to better connect weapons systems and speed up battlefield decisions. The Ministry of Defence will also set up a command to manage cyber threats. The Defence Secretary, John Healey, says the UK is facing daily attacks.
The keyboard has become a weapon of war, and in future conflicts, and we learn this lesson from Ukraine, in future conflicts, those that prevail will be those who are not just better equipped and better trained, but better connected.
The plans will form part of the long-awaited strategic defence review, due to be published on Monday. Ministers have moved to fast-track the construction of two reservoirs in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire. They want to speed up the planning process over concerns about meeting demand for drinking water. The plans have been designated nationally significant, escalating them from local planning to central government. And Chelsea have become the first club to win all five men's UEFA club tournaments. They came from behind to beat Real Betis 4-1 in the Conference League final last night. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.26 after closing down 52 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 19. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Find top-rated outdoor dining products on Amazon. Like this pizza oven with 5-star reviews, you'll get value and tasty pizza. Or these barbecue gloves. Remember to take off before eating.
Or this large windproof umbrella.
Because nobody wants a wet pizza. Amazon. Find highly rated products at prices you'll love.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven on Thursday, May the 29th, a police force in all the wrong ways. The officers cleared of care home assault on a 92-year-old man with one leg. We'll give you more details on that. To the United States, the days of Doge are over, but here's President Trump earlier praising his friend Elon Musk.
Do we have a new star? A star is born, Elon. Now he's an amazing guy.
Well, that was November. He's now off. But what has Doge achieved in the United States? And do we need a Doge of sorts here in the United Kingdom? In other matters, of course, as I said earlier, trading blows. President Trump's tariffs. A war now seems to ensue. We'll have full details on our look in the world of finance in about 25 minutes' time. Also coming up,
Prosecutors in the UK have confirmed that social media influencers Andrew and Tristan Tate are facing 21 criminal charges, which they deny. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the latest.
The truth about the Heathrow blackout bungler. He was asleep as they shut down the airport in March because he turned his phone off. Can someone just trundle him down runway 7 and we could bid farewell to him? Plus... they want to change the meals your children are having at school, but what are the changes they're putting forward? You'll find out later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
So, here's the tale of the tape. In the blue corner, you have a fairly burly 51-year-old police officer, Stephen Smith, who has a parva spray, which is like a pepper spray, an extendable asp or nightstick. With him is the 36-year-old police officer, Rachel Camato, who has a taser. Both of them have stab vests. That's in one corner. In the other, you have a 92-year-old man in a wheelchair with one leg and a 4-inch butter knife. I tell you, this is very distressing. I warn you, this is distressing. You can see it, of course, on LBC. This is what happened next.
Pop it down for me, on the floor. Pop it on the floor. Donald's, pop it on the floor.
There's many more.
As enough as, as many as we need. Put the knife on the floor now, or you'll be sprayed. Do your tongues. Put it down. Put it down. Donald, put it down.
Seriously?
Last chance.
Can you just hold that door? I can't get a good angle.
Donald, put it down. Put it down now. Come on.
Last chance.
Right, put it down. Drop the knife. Put it on the floor.
Do it now. Drop the knife.
Donald, drop the knife.
Donald.
Put it down.
Taser.
Go to the LBC app. I warn you, it is very distressing. I can't warn you enough how distressing it is, but you may want to watch it. The police officers there were there for 83 seconds. 83 seconds. You hear one of them saying, can you hold the door so I can get a good angle? Now, you know that most every time I can, I support and I defend the police. Until a few years ago, I was privileged to give out the awards for the Metropolitan Police. My late mum was in the job. Not that she particularly enjoyed it, I'll be honest with you. But my sympathies always go with the men and women in blue. But not on this occasion. This is a day of utter shame for the police. And while I don't relish in people going through nightmares, the fact that they were cleared at Southwark Crown Court I find truly extraordinary, although remember the law is of course an ass, or in this case perhaps an asp, but they will now face disciplinary proceedings. It can only hope that they're both booted out. Peter Kirkham is former Detective Chief Inspector with the Metropolitan Police and joins me now. Mr Kirkham, put forward the defence if you would. Good morning.
Well, I think the start point has got to be that anybody, no matter whether they are in a wheelchair or an amputee or whatever, anybody that is wielding a knife is a danger. They represent a danger. You don't know exactly how sharp that knife is or how pointed it might be.
It's a butter knife.
Beyond what you can see from the distance you're at until after the event. And it's very easy to be wise after the event with these things. So... the police have got ways of dealing with such threats from a distance, from a safe distance, because as soon as you become within contact distance, that knife can cause a slash injury, it can cause a puncture injury, it can be used with force by somebody holding it.
All right, let's boil to the chase. Do you support what those officers did, Mr. Kirkham?
I'm not really in a position to make that judgment on the basis of the clip that we've seen. It's a judgment call. It's
well,
in the
you've seen as much as they have. 83 in 83 seconds, these two officers decided to use that level of force. Why not try other methods?
Well, they did. If you watch the video, you see they saw. They started off with using verbal commands.
Yes. Then they try and hit his hand with I think it's an asp. So we're now trying to strike the arm of a 92-year-old man. It's going well, isn't it, for the police?
Which is very much more dangerous, potentially, than a taser.
Right, Mr. Kirkham, on the call, the officers were told this man had dementia. So you're going into a fairly fraught situation with a person who doesn't know really the way they're acting. Why on earth would you move to the position of violence so quickly?
It's a judgment call, and as you say, the issue of how long it took them to reach the point where they fired the taser is going to be the key thing, I think, for a police disciplinary tribunal.
What do we take from the fact that some of his colleagues, upon hearing of this, said, was this another Smith special? What does that tell us about this particular police officer, do you imagine?
Well, if that is what has been said and that relates to the officer concerned...
Yes.
Or one of the officers concerned.
Yes, the male officer, yes. What does that tell you?
But it wasn't the male officer that fired the taser.
No, he's the one who hit him with a stick. So what that might that tell you about PC Smith?
I've no idea what it actually does tell you.
All right. I enjoy speaking with you. Thanks for all your input on police matters. I think we better leave it here, because otherwise our friendship will be damaged. Peter Kirkham is with the Met, or was with the Met, I'm sorry. 7:10, Jodie Anderson is a senior caseworker at Inquest. Now, that was a caseworker on... this particular family, Donald Burgess, the gentleman caught up with it. What do you take from the court findings? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick, and thank you for having me. And like with yourself, absolutely shocked, struggling to reconcile.
It's worse than shocked, Jodie. I'm actually distressed. When I saw it last night on the TV, yeah. I couldn't bloody believe it, to be honest.
As your listeners will be too, and rightly so, I've watched this footage dozens and dozens of times. And today, even hearing it across the airwaves as you've played it, it never ceases to hit. To Peter Kirkham, a 92-year-old wheelchair user with one leg in a vulnerable state of crisis. I'm sorry, but the mealy-mouthed response to justifying this use of force is simply not acceptable. Okay. It's difficult, impossible, frankly, to reconcile the outcome of this jury verdict with the footage. And there's nothing beyond this. The footage speaks for itself. It was totally unjustified. And in response to Peter Kirkham, there were no other attempts to
talk him down effectively.
No. Exactly. I mean, I've been reading the comments on YouTube all week, and certainly yesterday when the verdict came. And to be honest, the public have got it better than the police on this occasion.
Although I have to say, you reference the public, Jodie. The jury, and they are 12 good men and true or whatever, it took them less than 2 hours, so they were in no way, shape or form in much doubt about this, Jodie Anderson.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, it's concerning, isn't it? And we know historically at Inquest, where we work with families who've been on the sharp end of police violence for many, many years, that juries are historically very reluctant to convict officers. And frankly, I mean, as much as we hoped that the facts in this case would completely resonate with the public in outrage, clearly something has gone deeply wrong. And what we have here is police use of force experts turning up, those of the same ilk to Mr. Kirkham here, turning up, probably former police officers, and saying this use of force was justified.
Unbelievable.
This is a matter of fact for the jury to determine. When we bring experts in, it just completely distracts from what is, frankly, completely barbaric use of force, which is, really doesn't address the sort of broader issues here in policing, which is a default to violence.
Lastly, just to remind my listeners, unfortunately, this man died some 22 days later of COVID. He was admitted to a hospital, as a result of the police action. So he did not die as a result of his injuries, but he contracted COVID, and sadly. And the judge has praised the family for their conduct during the trial. Have you heard from them since the verdict came down? If so, what are they saying, the Burgess family? Jodie?
The family are devastated. I mean, they've sat through days and days of evidence and had to listen to the police justify their actions. But the family know. I mean, they engage in this process because they hope that lessons will be learned. And they know that accountability, yes, that comes in the form of a guilty verdict, but it essentially what it comes down to is the police taking a cold, hard look at themselves. One trial doesn't address the broader systemic issues with policing here, where we default in a care home. I mean, if it can happen to Donald, Nick, it can happen to anyone.
I will leave it there. Jodie Anderson, thank you. You're a senior caseworker at the organisation Inquest, and you worked on the case of Donald Burgess, the gentleman who was the victim of that. And I use the word victim, the victim of that police action. Darren's in Leicester. Your reaction to this, Darren? You're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. After watching the video on the TV, and I've watched it many times now, there was no forward motion by the pensioner with a tiny knife for the police to use such excessive force. I mean, it was a dinner knife, a little tiny dinner knife. It gives you no...
Four and a bit inches, yep.
I mean, they say it was a serrated knife, but it's not a serrated knife.
It's not serrated. I've got a picture of it.
Yeah, I've seen the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But with all the reports... recent reports about care home abuse, did they not think to look into why he was like that in the first place.
The poor man has dementia. He doesn't know what he's doing, poor bloke.
Exactly. So you can't tell me that's not excessive force. How the jury found the police not guilty is absurd.
Totally with you, Darren. Thank you. Bill's in Weybridge. Your reaction, Bill?
I think it was outrageous what they did. I'm a retired police officer.
Ah.
33 years in the Met.
What was the protocol they should have followed, Bill?
Well, they should have assessed, they should have spoken to the staff more. This man was going nowhere. He was no one was in danger from him whatsoever. They should have assessed the situation. They obviously knew he had one leg.
Yep.
He was suffering from dementia. He was in a wheelchair. He was going nowhere. They could have spoken to him a bit longer.
Yep.
Or a lot longer. And if necessary, I was looking at the scene there, one of them could have got behind him, if necessary, and disarmed him.
Totally with you, Bill. Good point you make. No conversation about his condition. What can you tell us about this gentleman, which is what the officer... What can you tell us about this man? Oh, he's got dementia, has he? Oh, right, OK, none of that. Bill, thank you as a former copper. Appreciate your input. This comes in from Stoney. I'm confident most nurses could have managed to take a butter knife off the gentleman without being injured. Never mind two burly trained... Well, I don't know if they're both burly. You say burly police officers. One is quite a big lad. The other one is a 30-something-year-old woman. This comes in from... Do keep them coming. Natalie in Reading. If the police can't disarm a 91-year-old disabled man in a wheelchair, that speaks volumes. He has dementia. Didn't understand what they were asking. You're absolutely right, we're going to stay with this. Also, let's go to the story of the Heathrow blackout bungler, otherwise known as the boss, Thomas Wolby, defended after that blackout in March by Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander.
It's my understanding that he placed his chief operating officer...
He's the boss!
..in March. He will have also known that there was going to be a huge number of very difficult decisions the following day.
And now we learn that talentless oaf slept through it because his phone was on silent. Can't he just be grounded for good? 7:16 LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
A trade court in the US has blocked President Trump's tariffs, including levies on China, Mexico and Canada. Four people are reported to have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in Gaza. Britain is to set up a new military command to tackle cyber warfare. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very busy on the M2 westbound to Junction 2 at the A228. It's because of those emergency works to the bridge. The exit slip road remains closed, but also two lanes are closed on the main carriageway. There are delays of about 20 minutes on the approach. In New Cross, there are queues on Queen's Road westbound. It's all down to an accident just by Kendah Street. There are delays back through the one-way system. No Woolwich Ferry running. It can't run at the moment because of a technical problem. On the underground, on the Northern Line, Angel Station is open for exit only, and also Barbican Station is closed, but that's because of a shortage of staff. And on the train, Southeastern services at Sittingbourne remain disrupted.
LBC.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My claim group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on! Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after 7, come back to your reaction. A lot of people want to have their say about this extraordinary event with these two police officers who fortunately still face disciplinary proceedings. And I hate to speak ill of people who are brave enough to pull on the uniform, but the way I see it, we've just got to hope they're drummed out without their pensions. Matt, you'll be the next caller on that. Quickly through some of the front pages. Well, other policing matters, the aftermath of that horrific attack up in Liverpool. The Daily Mirror, arrested driver as, quotes, a lovely family man, close quotes. This is obviously neighbours talking about it. The Daily Mail, Liverpool suspect is a company director. So we're more is emerging, of course. As yet, no charges. The police given more time, of course, to continue questioning him. A couple of other front pages. I won't give them all to you. The Times tells us that doctors are told strikes will harm effort to heal the NHS. This is as it would appear. We are getting closer to yet more industrial action from our doctors. And lastly, let's pick up the Metro. They had a good story. £123 million down the drain. This is Thames Water's record fine. Now, we knew about that yesterday. I only reference it today because we're going to be hearing from the relevant minister about the building of some new reservoirs. It's been too long, hasn't it? Apparently, they're going to bring them forward. We'll learn more, as I say, the relevant government minister, water minister, indeed, later in the hour. Quickly, the LBC app, and that's where you can find, and I warn you again, it is very distressing video, seeing a 92-year-old man being tasered. We'll also be trying to be hit with a nightstick or a baton, whatever one calls those things. So it's on the LBC app, as is the main story, which is the potential doctor's strike. Health Secretary West Reading warning against the strike. Let's put one other one at random. OK, here we go. The Sun Online tells us that Rose West would appear to be reaching her dying days. She was, of course, the serial killer who worked with her husband, Fred West. The Sun newspaper reporting she has no friends, despite trying to make friends by handing out vapes. Ever. If you want to know more about life behind bars, you can read that. OK, Matt's in Aylesbury. Matt, your verdict on that verdict. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Hello,
I'm not actually... To be honest, it's a difficult one to call. We actually met a number of years ago, Nick. You gave me my bravery award for a very similar incident.
Okay.
Quite a few years ago.
Well, you didn't taser a 92-year-old bloke, did you?
No, we didn't taser anybody. We didn't have a taser. we went to an address where there was a paranoid schizophrenic chap,
right.
quite elderly in his 50s, and we spent quite some time trying to talk him down. He then retreated into the kitchen and actually picked up a pointed bladed knife.
Mm.
Again, we tried to talk him down, and it wasn't until he actually charged us that we did actually use CS gas at the time. It was
right.
A different sort of thing, which unfortunately he completely ignored and came straight through and actually stabbed my colleague.
Right, it's all coming back to me now. Yeah.
So it's actually very difficult. Age, I know the chap was in a wheelchair, and I know the chap didn't appear to be any threat, as it were.
Oh, man.
But what I will say is, unless you're actually in the situation yourself, it's very difficult to make a judgment.
Matt, the bravery you and your colleagues displayed, and I do recall that story, how many legs did that man have?
Yeah, he had two legs.
There you go. How many legs did this fella have?
He's got one leg.
Well, what is... So you've got four legs against one. I mean, seriously.
All I'm trying to say is...
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to say that they were right or wrong, because we don't have all of the evidence. We don't have absolutely everything that was in front of them. So I'm not saying they were right, but equally I'm not saying they were wrong. What I'm saying is I think you have to understand that you have to be in the situation to be able to then properly judge whether they were right or wrong.
Lastly, how concerned are you that the whole, from as they say in America, from soup to nuts, from arrival to deployment of the taser, 83 seconds, no conversation had with the nursing staff. What can you tell me about this patient, please?
That's very concerning.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you there, Nick. 83 seconds seems very quick.
Look after yourself. Are you still in the job?
I'm not.
Oh, what do you do now, sir?
I actually own a recruitment agency now.
Okay, good luck. Well, I remember you now. You are very... Not that you'll... dwell on it, but you were a very brave individual. I remember the story. Look after yourself, sir. Thank you. John in Colchester, normally I have the utmost respect for you. I always know how these go. However, you're off. Have you or your sympathisers ever faced a person, old, young, male, female, with a weapon that can do damage? Our law allows for preemptive use of force under common law to protect yourself or others. Right. John. This is a 92-year-old man with dementia with one leg confined to a wheelchair. It's not Tyson Fury. You know, this is what you're taking on. Please. You've got two people with two legs versus one old boy with one. I mean, what do I have to spell out here? Jim's in Northill in Bedfordshire. Good morning, Jim. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Well, first of all, folks are with the family of this
Indeed,
poor chap.
Burgess.
And also, I'd like to also reiterate what you've said, is that I'm far from being anti-police. I've got a lot of mates in the Met Police. But
yep.
I do think that they often use a sledgehammer to try and crack a walnut. And I don't know if it's down to the training, but I was in a situation, I was driving through South London about a year ago, and there was a very large chap who was having a kind of a mental episode, and there was two officers there. They'd already deployed the taser because he had the cables hanging out of him to absolutely no effect.
All right.
The policewoman was just stood at one side, sort of screaming. The officer, the gentleman officer, same sort of situation here. You've got a male and a female officer.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically at each other's throats and grappling. And it probably wasn't a good idea, and I wouldn't recommend it, but I just walked over, and I put my hand on this fellow's shoulder, and he was a big lad. And I just said, what's the matter, mate? And he said, sorry, who are you?
Yeah.
I said, look, mate, I'm not a policeman. I said, I'm just a member of the public. My name's Jim. I said, what's the matter? What's going on? He said, they're going to take my vase. He had a vase at his feet.
Right.
And I said, no one's going to take your vase. I said, look, this lady's going to look after it for you. And I said, you look after his vase, won't you? And this copper, the fellow was saying, you're under arrest. And I literally had to say, mate, can you just keep quiet for a minute? And I said to this fellow, look, this policeman needs to talk to you, but in order to talk to you, you've got to put the cuffs on. I don't want to put cuffs on. I said, well, he can't talk to you. I said, if you put the cuffs on, he'll talk to you. And
how long did it take? So you defused the situation. How long did
totally
it take you?
It.
How long do you reckon it took?
It took about 30 seconds.
Seriously?
Yeah, literally. I mean, literally, I couldn't believe how quickly he agreed to put the cuffs on. He just said...
What was the attitude of the officers towards you when you'd successfully talked the guy down, effectively?
Well, luckily, they'd literally just got the cuffs on him. I mean, the policeman had lost his clip-on tie, his shirt was all ripped. And he did come over and thank me. He just said, thank you. Because luckily by then, a lot of other officers had turned up. And I suppose the adrenaline and everything else.
Yes.
But it was just like, clearly what they were doing was not working. And in this situation with Donald, it wasn't working. I mean, they were, screaming, hollering, shouting. Like you say, I mean, my father's old. He's got a bit of onset dementia. And he's also been prone to these urinary infections.
Oh,
now,
yes, yes.
You can't expect every police officer to also know every single medical condition.
No, you're absolutely... Jim, well done with what you did with that fellow. And thank you for reminding me. We do need to say this fellow, the gentleman, the 92-year-old, it was found that he had a urinary tract infection. Sadly, if you have experience of looking after elderly people, this is quite common because they can't empty their bladder as effectively as you can when you're younger, and that does send you a little bit crazy if you've got a UTI. So unfortunately, the gentleman had that, so he's not behaving rationally. Jim, a fascinating story and well told. Thank you. Now, we're not just doing this. We have many other stories, of course, that we're going to be covering, not least of which is a story that broke yesterday about Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan, which was covered here on LBC. LBC's reporter Henry Riley is in the studio with me now. Just remind everybody why these people make such headlines. Henry, good morning to you.
Well, Nick, good morning. These are social media influencers, Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan Tate. And what we learned yesterday is that for the first time, the Crown Prosecution Service in the UK, they've confirmed they've authorised 21 charges against the brothers. We now, for the first time, know the details of those charges and the number of alleged victims. Now, Andrew Tate, as you mentioned, a sort of self-styled misogynist. He and his brother Tristan have had hundreds of millions of views on some of their videos such as this.
Women are the biggest haters on the planet. I know you don't understand this because you're the kind of man that women reject. I'm the kind of man women love, but hate on.
Andrew Tate is accused of 10 charges, including rape, actual bodily harm, human trafficking and controlling prostitution for gain, relating to three alleged victims. His 36-year-old brother Tristan faces 11 charges, including rape, actual bodily harm and human trafficking against one alleged victim. Now, last year, Bedfordshire police announced they were seeking to extradite the Tate brothers back to the UK. They issued an international arrest warrant over the allegations, which go back to between 2012 2012 and 2015. The pair, who are dual British-American citizens, have previously denied the allegations. Now, these charges by the CPS were actually authorised back in January of last year. The CPS got a file of evidence from Bedfordshire Police. The full details only emerged yesterday. Despite that, though, the pair can only be brought back to the UK once criminal proceedings against them in Romania have concluded. And in Romania, prosecutors there have charged them with offences including trafficking minors, sexual intercourse with a minor, and money laundering. The brothers deny all charges. It's thought they're still in Romania, but Nick, they'll be extradited back to the UK following the conclusions of those proceedings in Romania.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting. Let's just get a couple of ideas, a couple of thoughts and verdicts coming in on social media. Mark in Redditch, overwhelming disgust at these officers. Where did the jury come from? Why doesn't the overwhelming apply with this jury? What has gone on? William Chalmers, the force was excessive. Couldn't they have just put a blanket over the poor man's arm and wrapped it up? There was two of them. This is awful. Remember, of course, they do now face internal disciplinary proceedings. We will return to this subject. Also, coming up after the news...
A US federal court has blocked Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs, saying the president has superseded his authority. Well, he's not happy about it. Where does it leave his negotiations? I'm Christian May from City AM, and I'll be discussing this with Nick shortly.
Plus... They want to start altering the school meals that your children or your child has, but exactly how? What are the changes? You'll find out later in the show. It's 7:30. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC, and the news is with Thomas Watts.
Donald Trump has suffered a setback in his effort to impose tariffs on almost every country. A trade court in New York has blocked the move, ruling that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the taxes. Four people have died after thousands crowded into a UN food warehouse in Gaza. It's reported two people were crushed and two others died of gunshot wounds, but it's not clear who opened fire. About £1 billion is to be invested in technology to better connect weapons systems and speed up battlefield decisions. The plans will form part of the UK's long-awaited strategic defence review, due to be published on Monday. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places, sunny spells across central and eastern parts, a high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC.
You could be £10,000 richer just in time for summer. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about pension credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for pension credit on gov.uk. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
I'm Dr. Andrew Darwood from the Darwood and Tanner Dental Practice. For over 30 years now, with co-founder Dr. Susan Tanner, we've assembled a dedicated and caring multidisciplinary team of dental experts who are at the forefront of their field, all with just one purpose in mind, creating the most comprehensive, tailored and complete dental implant treatments to keep you smiling.
For more on dental implants and our full range of treatments, visit darwoodandtanner.co.uk.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:32 is the time. I think there's one spare line into the building. There's a lot of anger with the way in which that 92-year-old man was treated by those two police officers. Just to make it plain, although, of course, this is the end of criminal proceedings, there are now disciplinary police proceedings, so let's just make that plain, so they are ongoing. So that's your verdict on that. We're also going to be taking later in the show your verdict, as it would appear we're limbering up, getting closer to the doctor won't see you now, the possibility of more industrial action. That's coming up later, your verdicts on that. But let's get the City to Business verdict on this news that broke overnight.
We're following some very big breaking news tonight. A three-judge panel in New York has effectively balked almost all of Trump's disastrous tariffs.
Let's turn to Chris. That was MSNBC, by the way. Let's turn to Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, for the interpretation. What does this mean? This, of course, goes back to those famous boards that he held up outside the White House. Christian, morning to you.
Good morning to you, Nick. Yeah, brace yourself. Last I checked a few minutes ago, the president had not yet taken to his social media platform to share his thoughts on this, and we can look forward to that. He's not going to be happy about it. US federal court has blocked Donald Trump's tariffs. It's a major blow to the White House. It was the Court of International Trade in Manhattan, a case I believe was brought by a wine importer and a bicycle manufacturer. What's happened is that the judges have concluded that the president exceeded his authority. Trump put these tariffs through on the basis that the country was facing a national emergency, as he put it, and he used those associated powers of the presidency. The court has said, hang on a minute, Congress has the exclusive powers to regulate commerce with other nations. That's how it's put down in the Constitution, and the powers Trump relied upon to impose his tariffs are deemed not lawful. Now, steel and aluminium tariffs, by the way, are not affected by this ruling because they come under a different law. The White House has said it is not for unelected judges to decide how to properly address a national emergency, and they will appeal. They have 10 days in which to do so. The tariffs will stay in force until that appeal is concluded, and it could go all the way to the highest court in the US, of course, which may be more sympathetic to Donald Trump. There is some market reaction already, though. It does rather take away the bullish strength of Donald Trump's negotiating tactics. If your trade opponents, if that's how Donald Trump views them around the world, now think there's a chance that the American courts could wind this all up. So markets in Asia have started to rally. The US market futures have started to look a little bit rosier as well. So I'm sure that Donald Trump will be absolutely livid, and we will probably hear directly from him on this later today.
Well, we look forward to that. Let's say in the United States, and the big dog of Doge leaves, but the business carries on. What's happening there, Christian?
Well, yeah, we've been keeping a close eye, haven't we, on Elon Musk's relationship with the White House and the US administration more broadly. It's been confirmed that he is going to step down from his role with the government. He's keen to stress that his appointment as a special government employee was always due to expire on the 30th of May, but plenty of people had assumed that it would be extended. He's had a bit of a falling out with a number of people in the White House, not least over Trump's big tax and spend bill that he's putting through Congress as we speak. Elon Musk has said that he thinks the amount of spending committed to in that piece of legislation will effectively undo all the good work, as he sees it, of his Doge Department of Government efficiency, which has been stripping out tens of billions of dollars of US spending. So there is a bit of tension there. It's also true, of course, that he has said and he has told Tesla investors that he is going to go back and spend more time looking after that business, because that business is looking at a few difficulties of its own in the electric car market.
Let's go to your front page. You've got the story of the Heathrow blackout bungler. We're doing more on that later. So let's go to your other splash story, which is there's more money checking out of the UK.
Yeah, by the way, the blackout bungler is a better headline than the one we went with, so I commend you for that. But yes, we're now also looking at the billionaire founder of one of the UK's bright spots in the tech industry. Guillaume Poussaz was the founder of Checkout.com back in 2012. It's helped bring him about £6 billion worth of wealth, and he and what's called his family office, his financial infrastructure, has been based in the UK. He's been a non-dom, paying an awful lot of tax in the UK on his UK income and earnings. The non-dom regime is no more, and like many others, he's decided to leave. He's picked up his financial infrastructure, if you like, his family office, as it's called, and he's taken it to Monaco. And he becomes just the latest to do that. We've reported on plenty of very high-profile individuals from the world of banking and entrepreneurship who have done this. You'll recall at the time the government was quite clear that their changes to the non-dom rules would bring in about £10 billion a year to the Treasury. Subsequent analysis suggests that if just half the UK's non-doms decide to move out of the UK, the government will in fact lose about $10 billion. And every day there's a new report of somebody who was paying tens, if not hundreds of millions of pounds of direct tax in the UK, picking up and leaving for jurisdictions that will not tax them on income on foreign earnings, which is now the case here. So,
all right, let me ask you, we talk a lot about these millionaires and billionaires leaving the country. Christian May, I notice not the usual background, not the study I normally see you in. So are you talking to me from Monaco or the Cayman Islands or Bermuda?
Yeah, I've just come over to Monaco for my annual meeting with my tax lawyer. No, I wish. I'm in Sussex, East Sussex. Very nice, but it's not a tax jurisdiction of its own just yet.
All right. Well, watch out for the police. They're quite taser-happy down there in Sussex. You take care of yourself. Christian May is editor-in-chief at City AM. We'll speak tomorrow, 7:38. Coming to you, Emma, as the next voice on that taser incident. Jane in Lichfield, Lincolnshire. While the action is deplorable, why were they called in to see this old boy? Questions should be asked of the nursing home. I suppose if he's got a knife, they're nervous he's going to turn it on himself, Jane. Barbara in Plymouth, I am now crying. How can this be possible? Had the gentleman tried to get out of the wheelchair to attack anyone? How on earth must his poor family feeling, grieving for their father, the way he was treated in his final days? Well, as a result of being tasered and had pepper spray in his face, he was admitted to hospital where he contracted COVID and he was dead 22 days later. Ben in Woodford, having seen the footage, I completely agree with you. The level of force was completely unacceptable. This comes in from Andrew James. Everyone is missing the point. He could have stabbed himself. It wasn't just the officers who were at risk. Well, that argument, he could have had a thermonuclear device. You deal with the realities. He's not moving. You watch the 80 seconds of it. And I warn you again, it's very distressing, but look at it, Mr. James, on the LBC app. He's just holding the knife in his hand, and it's a four-inch butter knife. Emma's in Preston. What do you want to say to the story, Emma? Good morning.
Morning. I just think it's ridiculous, and these officers have put the, police in the spotlight for the wrong reasons again. I believe that the old man was pushed into his room, so how did the nursing home staff deal with that to get him in there without getting them hurt if he was such a danger? Like society, nobody understands the depths of a deep UTI, dementia.
That's a urinary tract infection where I understand, I mean, effectively, I'm using colloquialism, it does send you a bit nuts, doesn't it, basically?
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't even give him time to talk to them. When people have got, dementia, they're digressing, so they're going backwards in time. So the man didn't have, two legs. He isn't jumping out of his chair. They haven't talked him down. The staff need to have some sort of, responsibility for this. Why didn't they call the family and see if one of the family members could have come in and helped? And like someone else said, just put a big blanket on your hand, grab the knife, or just leave him in his room.
Actually, that's a good point, because you're not going to be short of blankets, are you, in a care home? You've got a stab vest. It's a bit like if you ever, and I have had to deal with a German shepherd dog who's in a distressed state because we had a couple of German shepherds as a boy. If you wrap everything around your arm, it's going to go so you can protect your arm. And then you're alongside a 92-year-old man. You're going to get the knife out in seconds. Emma, thank you. We will return to this story. But let's go to the extraordinary issue of the blackout bungler, otherwise known as the Chief Executive Officer of Heathrow Airport, Thomas Volby, who now we know slept through the crisis in March. Now, back in March, he said, you may recall, how proud he was of how his team handled the crisis that affected around 250,000 people and shut down one of the world's busiest airports.
Personally, I'm quite proud of what the entire ecosystem, and that's not just Heathrow, that's our airlines, our handlers. I'm proud of what the people did to get us out of the situation.
We now learn from the case review the phone was muted without him being aware, the reviewers found. He only found out at 6:45, more than 7 hours after the fire began at 11:20. Now, while I don't have details of when the first call came through, Chief Operating Officer who works underneath him, Javier Echave, says he tried to call his boss several times during the night. So he slept through it for at least, 5-6 hours? By the way, he was paid £3.2 million last year. You think you could keep your phone on for that, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're listening now, you're going to work. Would you, if I gave you £3.2 million a year, would you promise to keep your phone on at night? Is that a deal? Amanda Coleman is a crisis communications consultant and founded Amanda Coleman Communications Limited and joins me now. What sort of look does this give off, Amanda? Good morning.
Good morning. Not good at all, is it? And I think there's a number of reasons. One is, I mean, you quite rightly pointed out that somebody at the top of the organisation paid a significant amount of money. I'm surprised that nobody actually just went round to his house. They've got time during the evening to send somebody round, to knock on the door, send a car, whatever. I think there's a number of things that you need to kind of look at and put practical steps in place. Have an extra phone, a hotline phone when you're a senior person. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, there wasn't honesty at the start of this, in the interviews that he conducted, none of this, which clearly was known, was ever kind of discussed in any way.
How do you think he and Heathrow have emerged from this crisis, Amanda?
I think when you read some of the report that came out, other than obviously him not being available, they did respond fairly well. I think the person below him was said to have made the right decisions for the right reasons. I think there's a number, there's always with any situation, a lot of learning that you can take from that. And I think there's some really key points around how they both prepared, were ready, responded. And, you know, there's always learning. There clearly is in a number of cases, you know, one of the aspects of this case as well.
Amanda, thanks for your time. Amanda Coleman is a crisis communications consultant. 7:43 is the time. Let's come back to the story of the 92-year-old man who was tasered by the police officers. Mike's in Solihull. What can you tell me about this, Mike? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I actually run a training company. We provide dementia care training and dealing with neurodivergency and so on. The big thing that sticks out to me is it seems no one is trained in dealing with dementia care, neither from the care home staff nor the police. That was way over the top. One of the first things to recognise if you've got someone with dementia is you live in their world. Mm-hmm. This gentleman's 92. Bear in mind, he's served within his country. If he's there with a knife and he's looking at someone coming at him who looks like they are geared up for battle, how is he going to respond anyway? He's going to be frightened. He's going to be worried. And no one took the time to actually go back and say, what's his life history? What do we know about this guy? How can we talk him down? How can we de-escalate? And indeed, as a previous caller made the point, I think it was Emma, why didn't someone contact the relatives and say, hang on, this guy's safe enough, but we're concerned. What can we do?
What an excellent idea. As somebody else said, he's no danger. You can monitor him. I know people say he could turn the knife on himself. He hasn't. He's not even threatened to do it. Just get the family involved. Mike, good luck with the company that you're running. Do you want to mention the company's name, Mike? Do you want to mention the company's name, Mike, before I go?
Oh, that's so kind of you. Yes, we're Arms Rehab Limited. But I was just going to mention one quick thing.
Briefly, if you
would. Which is, at someone's 92, turning the knife on himself, it's easy to intervene and protect him. Easy.
Good luck with the company you're running. Thank you. Coming up later in the show.
An LBC investigation has found that children as young as 9 are bringing knives into schools, and they're not afraid to use them. I'm LBC crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the exclusive.
The two realms there, isn't it? A 92-year-old with a butter knife, not serrated in any way, and a 9-year-old with a real knife. Go figure, as they say in the States. It's 7:45, LBC News headlines now. Thomas Watts.
A court in the US has moved to block President Trump's tariffs on imports from almost every country. 4 people have died after thousands crowded into a UN food warehouse in Gaza. And Britain is to set up a command to manage cyber military threats. LBC weather. Cloudy with patchy rain for many, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue for around 20 minutes on the M2 westbound to Junction 2 at the A228 because of the emergency works. One lane's just been closed on the M25 clockwise just before Junction 24 at Porter's Bar, and that's where a car has broken down, so that lane closed for recovery. Very busy in New Cross on Queen's Road. It's all down to an accident by Kendah Street, and there are delays back into the one-way system. Also, problems on the A3 southbound at Roehampton Lane because of a police investigation. One lane is closed. No British Ferry running. The ferry is suspended because of a technical problem. And on the underground, on the Northern Line, Angel Station is open for exit only.
This is LBC.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains a foxolana.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews.
keep on smiling.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5 litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos, and the irresistible Frank's Red Hot Mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My Claim Group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
Just coming up on 10 minutes before 8, we'll come back to the subject of the 92-year-old man who, of course, subsequently died from COVID, but he was hospitalised as a result of being tasered and having pepper spray, or a form of pepper spray, at that care home in Sussex. Back to other matters. Water, water everywhere? Well, possibly, because reservoirs in England are to be fast-tracked. Otherwise, we could be looking at water rationing. Pretty grave picture, isn't it? So let's turn to the relevant MP, Minister for Water and Flooding, my apologies, Water and Flooding. Emma Hardy joins me now. I understand, Minister, you are out and about in our great nation. Where do I find you this morning? Good morning.
Hiya, Nick. Well, you find me in Wakefield, and even though I'm coming to talk to you about water, I'm coming to talk to you about water in the rain. So I've got my brolly, and this is to bring you the gorgeous visuals of how beautiful the reservoir is looking behind me. So we've seen people out walking their dogs, we've seen ducks swimming, we've had birds flying around, and it's a beautiful place, but brilliant. Maybe more enjoyable when it's not raining.
Let's talk about the new reservoirs. Where are they to be sited? How much is it costing? When will they be online? Minister.
Well, this is all about the infrastructure crisis, because we haven't built a new reservoir in 30 years. This is because of an outdated planning policy and the Conservatives failing to get the investment that we need. And this really matters, because if we don't build these reservoirs, then we're not going to have the drinking water that we need by the mid-2030s. And as you've mentioned, then we'll be looking at things like rationing in the same way that they do in the Mediterranean. So we've taken the unprecedented step of seizing control of the planning process. So this means that the planning process for these reservoirs is not going to be done by the local planning authority. That power goes directly into the hands of the Secretary of State, and that means that he can push through the process much more quickly. And what that means for customers and people listening is that they'll continue to have the drinking water they require, and it will unblock the building of tens of thousands of new homes. And as well, Nick, I know, oh, I'm losing my brolly.
Okay.
As well, honestly.
As long as you don't lose your majority, you can lose a brolly, don't lose your majority, Minister.
Well, I don't know if the two are connected, Nick, I'm hoping not. This is filming me losing my brolly. I've lost track of what was I telling you about?
You were talking about it. Well, I asked you when they would come online. That was what I think you were going to get to.
Yes, absolutely. So one of them is due to come online by 2036, the other one by 2040. But I'm not happy with that timeline. I mean, that was the timeline before we took the unprecedented action to give the power to the Secretary of State, because we need to drive this through more quickly. And one of the other things that people say when they talk to me about water is they tell me, well, one, why is it for a country that rains so much we haven't got it enough when we need it? And that's because we've not built the reservoirs. And the other point people make is that the pipes are leaking all over the place. So one of the other things that we're doing is reducing pipe leakage by 17%, and that's because of the £104 billion of private investment that we've got going into the water industry. But I know, well, I know you know, Nick, that that's not the only issue when it comes to water.
No.
There's also been all of the problems with sewage as well, which we're taking action on.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that on Thames Water in just a second. The one newspaper today, the Sun newspaper, also says that the issue with immigration, which of course is something else that the government is trying to get under control, but is it a lot of people who come here who obviously demand more water? Minister.
Well, it's climate change is having an impact on the water that we need. I mean, we've just had the driest spring since 69 years. It's been the driest spring that we've had. But of course, population growth is going to have an impact. This is why we've halved immigration, halved net migration this year, and was why the Prime Minister made the speech he did about getting immigration under control, which quite frankly wasn't under control under the last government. So there's a combination of factors, and we also want to build more homes, and we're also looking at businesses. So if we look at, for example, the expansion we want to do in data centres, they require a lot more water. So there's lots of different factors that are coming together. Of course, we should have started building these reservoirs years ago, but I wasn't the minister then, so I can just act
Indeed.
While being the minister now. So
right.
That's what I'm getting on with.
A new day, a new dawn. Let's talk sewage. You did reference it earlier. Thames Water has been fined a record, all but £123 million. But, of course, they're bust. What's the point of fining a company that's effectively bankrupt, Minister?
Rules apply to everyone, Nick. I mean, we're serious about enforcement, and that's one of the things I'm really proud of since we've come in, is that water companies are not going to get away with action that they've got away with in the past. So it's not just about this record-breaking fine, but we've also introduced the Water Special Measures Act, which introduces 2 years prison sentence for water bosses. We're banning unfair bonuses, and just last week I was out talking about the 81 criminal investigations that are going into water companies, because we are serious about enforcement. We're serious about fairness, and I think this is, you know, what the British public think as well. They think, why have they got away with this for years? Well, under this government, they're not. But alongside that, we've got to get that investment in. So our approach has been quite simple: enforce the rules and create new rules where we need them. Get the money in as well to make sure that we upgrade all of the infrastructure we've got, and that's what we're focusing on. And as I say, rules apply to Thames Water, same as they apply to every other water company.
As an Environment Minister, you might be aware that there's guidance urging schools in England to relax the rules which require them to serve meat 3 times a week. Do you think we, indeed our children, should be eating less meat, Minister?
I just think you have a healthy diet. I mean, I used to be a primary school teacher myself, and the school dinners that we served in the school I was at were really good, nutritious, healthy. And one of the things we're saying actually from DEFRA is we want to encourage 50% of the food that's cooked in schools and hospitals to come from local farmers, so that we can support farmers and support the local economy. So I just think it's important that kids get a good, nutritious lunch. And it's also why we're introducing our free breakfast clubs, Nick, so they can not only get a nice lunch, but they can have a free breakfast as well.
Final question is on your brief of water, coming back to Thames Water. Minister, Thames Water has paid out nearly £180 million in dividends in the last 2 years. 131 point something 2024, 37.5 the year before that. This is ridiculous, handing out these dividends with the quality of water given to its customers, isn't it, Minister?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
So what are you going to do about it?
So we've already done this through our Water Special Measures Act. So that means that they can't get an unfair bonus, and they can't be handing themselves dividends if they continue to deliver a poor service. I think that's the fair and right thing to do. And as I say, this comes back to the point I'm making. This is about enforcement. This is about fairness. This is about saying these rules apply to everyone. This is the expectations that we have. And I've been really clear, you know, we just want them to deliver a good service. If they don't, there will be consequences. But we're also really supportive of the private investment that's going in and the £104 billion that is needed to fix our crumbling infrastructure. You know, it, as I say, should have been done years ago, but right. We're in power now and we're getting on with it.
You know, a water minister, on the day they want to talk about reservoirs, it rains. I think you're destined for great things. I think you're on the way because we want a water minister who can make it rain. Let's get you as Foreign Secretary and Chancellor before you know it. Minister and Water and Flooding Minister Emma Hardy, thank you for braving the elements. Good luck with building those reservoirs. 3 minutes before 8 is the time. Back to that story, extraordinary story down in Sussex of the care home and the officers who deployed a sile of pepper spray and an asp. Richard's in Croydon. Thank you for hanging on the line. The point you want to make, Richard. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I've watched the video online there.
Yes, and it's distressing, isn't it?
Well, I'm just amazed that is this West Sussex Police, supposedly, is it?
Yeah, it would be battle. Yeah, it would be.
I'm amazed at the training that these police officers seem to have. I mean,
well, there is no training.
If these were experienced, supposedly there was meant to be experienced police officers, but if you're sent to a care home, what is the matter as a person, not only as a police officer, but just as a everyday working man, a chap, you know, walking along the street, would have more common sense to me, it seems, than the police officer there at the time. Surely you just go up to the old boy and say, "Now look, okay, old son."
Well, you're dealing with someone with dementia. What troubles me, Richard, is they didn't talk to the staff. They made no real assessment of the man's condition.
Well, that was partly my point. They didn't make an assessment of the situation. They looked at what was in front of them and decided to hit him with a baton and taser man, and then, you know, or pepper spray him. That was the first thought they had. There was none of this. There wasn't any thought put into it whatsoever. They seemed to me that they just had it in mind that they would go in there, crawl this silly old man, and leave. And that was their idea. That was their carte blanche, if you like, for the day. That was what they were going to do.
Richard, thank you for that. So many people holding. We're going to rework the show so we can come back to this. But we will move on to some other stories as we start the next hour. And are doctors starting to lose public sympathy or support as they move towards potentially more industrial action? In a video on social media last night, here's Health Secretary Wes Streeting making this plea.
Industrial action should always be a last resort. And frankly, I'd understand it if you had a health secretary with his fingers in the ears telling you were wrong. But in the last 10 months, you've seen a changed approach.
Plus,
an LBC investigation has found that children as young as 9 are bringing knives into schools and they're not afraid to use them. I'm LBC crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the exclusive.
Plus, the big dog of Doge in the United States, Elon Musk, leaves. Doge continues, but could we do with a Doge-style operation here in the UK? And what sort of cash might it save? Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, financial markets have rallied after a US court moved to block Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Trade judges in New York have ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. The White House has appealed the decision, which gives the administration 10 days to comply. Christian May from City AM has told Nick it's a major setback for Mr. Trump.
A case, I believe, was brought by a wine importer and a bicycle manufacturer. The judges have concluded that the president exceeded his authority